Well, let's get a sense of where we are with the virus and what is likely to happen over the next 6 months. Dr. Kit Yates is senior lecturer in mathematical biology at the University of Bath, and he's also the author of The Maths of Life and Death. Welcome to Newsday, Kit. And just to get us started, first of all, are you surprised at how quickly we're getting to the 30 million infections mark?
It doesn't surprise me a great deal, because I think we have learned quite a lot about this disease, but actually some of the things that we've learned we are ignoring at the moment, I think, across a lot of different countries. So many countries managed to control the first spike of their infection, but then didn't really learn the lesson, and they're now starting to see second spikes. And in particular, we're seeing that across much of Europe. So cases are rising quickly across much of Europe, not quite as quickly as they were at the start. But it hasn't surprised me that we've reached 30 million cases this quickly.
What lessons have been ignored?
I think so. I mean, I think we've learned so many things. We've learned about how COVID spreads in the air as well as through contact, and that being in a well ventilated place is good. Meeting outside is better than meeting inside. We've got estimates of this number, this basic reproduction number, that tells us the number of new infections each infectious person passes the disease on to during the course of their infectious period, and we know effectively that tells us how infective the disease is. And it's not a spoiler alert to say it's very transmissible, it's very infectious. We know things like hospitalizations lag behind cases, and then deaths lag behind hospitalizations. So if you wait for the number of deaths or hospitalizations to increase, then you've waited too long. But despite the fact we seem to have learned all this technical knowledge about the disease, if you look at what's happening in places like Europe right now, you wouldn't think that we've learned that much. Cases are rising in the majority of European states, and the World Health Organization is warning that we have to take this seriously.
Or else what will happen, do you think? What's likely to happen over the next 6 months, in your opinion?
I think there are two ways. It really depends on our actions. It depends on what we do. If we're sensible, if we keep our distance from people, if we wash our hands, we wear our masks in situations where we can't keep our distance, then we can bring the spread of COVID-19 under control. But it's a collective effort. We have to be thinking about each other. We have to be wearing masks, maybe not primarily to help ourselves, but to protect other people. If we can keep this basic reproduction number low, then we can keep cases down. But if we don't quickly take control of rising numbers of cases, then the situation can get out of hand again.
Yeah, so there's no number you could, you know, that you can't point at a figure. You haven't modelled that yet, have you?
I mean, people are modelling it under various different scenarios, but it really just depends upon the action, on the action that we take. It could be,
And now you have countries like Israel going back into lockdown today, many other countries considering that, parts of the UK on lockdown. In your mind, do you think that we're going to go through these sorts of motions for a while yet, where, you know, countries might open up and then lock down again?
Yeah, I suspect so. I mean, this right back in the earliest days of the pandemic, the early models that came out suggested if we come out of lockdown too quickly and we release measures too much and cases start to rise, then there is the potential that we're going to have to go into not just local lockdowns, but potentially even national lockdowns, right, again and again and again, to bring the disease under control. Because at the moment, we don't have good ways of stopping people catching this disease, other than these non-pharmaceutical interventions, and they're relatively crude tools.
And I've got to let you go shortly, but tell me about Africa and what you're seeing as far as that is concerned. Countries like Uganda, 5,000 or thereabout infections, under 100 deaths. Some say that it's because the testing isn't that widespread. South Africa, on the other hand, loads of numbers. What are you seeing in Africa?
So generally, cases seem to be coming down in Africa, which is good news. But there are still some countries, particularly in North Africa, Morocco, Tunisia and Libya, who are experiencing rises in cases. I think there are a number of international organisations, including the International Rescue Committee, who are suggesting that the true scale of the pandemic in Africa is perhaps being hidden because of problems with testing and data, as you mentioned. Kenya, for example, their numbers are dropping, but partly that's because they're only focusing testing on high-risk groups. The other thing which is important to note about Africa is that the demographic is quite different from a lot of the rest of the world's population. So generally a younger demographic, 60% of the population is under 25. And we know that this disease disproportionately affects older people. So hopefully due to the younger population, a lot of Africa will be spared the worst effects of this disease.
Dr. Keith Yates, Senior Lecturer in Mathematical Biology at the University of Bath. Thank you very much.